right. Psalm 78. I had told you last week that I was going to finish up that message on contentment from Philippians, but I completely forgot that this is Baby Dedication Day. And so I wanted to preach something that would be appropriate to the occasion. And so this morning we'll be in Psalm 78. And next week we'll come back and we'll finish up the message from Philippians about contentment. All right. Psalm 78 is where we're going to be. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled Preparing the Generation to Come. In Psalm 78, the psalmist who writes this discusses the incredible importance of training our children. Twice he uses the phrase preparing the generation to come. Look with me at verse number 4. He says, "We will not hide them," talking about God's word, "from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord." Look down at verse 6. He says that the generation to come might know them. Twice he uses that phrase, the generation to come. You know, I've heard this said that Christianity is one generation from extinction. You say, what do you mean? Well, if parents and grandparents do not take seriously the command of God to train up our children, then how in the world can we expect the next generation to hold to and perpetuate biblical truth if we are not preparing that generation that's coming behind us? There's a great verse, and it's a familiar verse. It's in your handout. It's in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, I looked up the word train in a Webster's dictionary, and to my delight, I found a definition that's just perfect in the context of training children. In fact, it's so good, I put it in your handout, and I want you to get this. Here's how Webster's defines the word train. Number one, it defines it as to direct the growth of. To direct the growth of. So if I'm training my child in the way he should go, I'm directing his growth. Okay? And then the second thing here is to form by instruction or discipline. The third thing is to teach so as to make fit or qualified. So if I'm training up my child, I'm teaching them so that they're equipped and qualified, fit to serve the Lord. And then the last thing there is to make prepared. To make prepared. If I'm training, I'm making somebody prepared. Now, parents, that's our job. That's it right there. We are to prepare the generation to come to what? To love God, to serve God, to worship God, to obey God, to believe God. Parents, this is our job. Man, this is what we've been called to do. This is our job description. Train up that child in the way they should go. How? Well, that definition, I direct their growth. I form them by instruction and discipline. I teach them so as to make them fit or qualified. And then I make them prepared. How can we prepare the generation to come, parents, grandparents? Well, in Psalm 78, it lays out a great plan. And I want to share this with you this morning, and I really hope you'll get a lot out of this, grandparents and parents alike. The first thing is this. Number one, we can prepare the generation to come by accepting our responsibility. Now, that's the first step. We have to take personal responsibility. If everybody else assumes that somebody else is doing it, it doesn't get done. Now, I've learned that here at work in the context of our church office. You know what I've learned? I've learned this. When a job is everybody's job, guess what? It's nobody's job. That's right. Things begin to fall through the cracks when it's everybody's job. I've learned this with my three boys. I got three sons, 18, 11, and 9. And one of the things I've learned is that if I tell all three of my boys to do something, that is a great way to ensure that it doesn't get done. I mean, if we're leaving the house, Denise and I say to go out to eat, and we say to the boys, "Now, boys, y'all need to get all that stuff picked up in the front yard and bring it in the garage." "Okay, Mom." Well, Clint thinks Clayton's doing it because, after all, most of it's his junk out there. See, my 18-year-old thinks my 11-year-old's doing it. My 11-year-old thinks that Clint's doing it because, after all, he's the oldest. And then both of them think that, well, probably Caleb's doing it because after all, he's the youngest and everybody knows the youngest gets bossed around and has to do everything anyway. So all three of them think that somebody else is doing it. And when we leave, it doesn't work. Denise can tell you, it does not work for us to say, now boys, y'all clean the house while we're gone. That doesn't work. It's got to be, Caleb, unload the dishwasher before we get home. Clayton, vacuum the floors before we get home. Clint, Clint's like, I'll supervise, you know, my 18-year-old. No, no, no. No, you'll do something too. You're going to clean the bedrooms. And so, you know, you got to give each one, because if you don't do that, then it doesn't get done. Well, guess what? In child rearing, the buck has to stop somewhere. Somebody has to take responsibility for these kids. Do you agree with me? Someone's got to take responsibility for the children, the generation that's coming up. You say, well, where should the responsibility go? Where should the buck stop? Well, look at verse 5. He says, for he established, God established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known. That law, those commandments, they should make them known to their children. Now, according to that verse, where does God put the responsibility to teach our kids the Word of God and to direct them? Where? Fathers. You say, that's Old Testament, that's Israel under the law. I'm glad you noticed. You're learning how to rightly divide God's Word. That's true. This is Israel, and He is speaking of the nation of Israel, and He is speaking of the Old Testament law. But I got a verse for you written by Paul to the church age. And it says basically the same thing, and it's in your handout there. It says Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. According to that verse written to the church, whose responsibility is it to bring up our children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord? Who? Fathers. Same thing as we read in Psalms. Too many fathers today are abandoning their God-given responsibility. Unfortunately, many dads pawn off that spiritual responsibility on mom or the Sunday school teacher or the school teacher or the Awana Club leader or the youth director. I praise the Lord for our single mothers who take the responsibility of mom and dad. And they got a big responsibility. And they're to be commended for that. Sometimes dad maybe passed away. There is no dad. Maybe dad isn't in the picture, or dad doesn't want to step up to the plate. Praise God for godly moms who will do that. But I will tell you this, if mom and dad are both in the picture, dads, it is our job to make sure our kids are getting it. It is our job, dads, to make sure they're getting what they need to get from God's Word. The local church should be supplementing the training that we're giving our children at home, not replacing it. It's not the local. Listen, look at your handout again at Ephesians 6:4. Look at it. Ephesians 6:4. He did not say, and ye pastors, and ye local church, and ye Christian schools. He said, and ye what? Fathers. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, my friend, we as a local church are not here to replace you, parents. We are here to supplement what you're giving your kids at home. See, the Bible assumes that you as a parent are going to be feeding your kids the Word of God at home. And then what they get at church is a supplement. We understand about supplements, don't we? I mean, look, if I'm starving and I'm hungry, and I mean, I am just, oh, I could just, you know, eat a horse, as they say, and I'm just starving, and I sit down to eat, and all of a sudden my wife brings over a plate, and it's got 6 vitamins on it. Is that going to cut it? Not in my house, it's not. My 18-year-old amened me in the 9:30 service on that. He was just amening on this point right here. No, man, give me some real food. Now, vitamins are great. I love vitamins. They're a wonderful thing. I take them and all that, but vitamins are to be what? Supplements. You see, what your kids get here at church ought to be a vitamin supplement to what they're getting at home. We don't replace what you're supposed to be doing. We don't replace you, dads, or if there's not a dad, moms. We don't replace you. You see, Ephesians 6:4 in your handout there, it says, bring them up. in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what that assumes? That assumes that as parents, we have a proactive plan for training our children. Unfortunately, too many parents are reactive rather than proactive. Instead of taking those precious little kids that you saw on the screen and from day one, reading them God's Word, teaching them God's Word, and training them up in the way they should go, too many parents think if they take them to church once a week, that's good enough. And then when they get to be teenagers and they begin to rebel and they begin to have problems, then the parents are reactive. Oh, no, what are we going to do? Oh, my child's over here in trouble. My child's with this, with these other teenagers, and he's getting in trouble. And he's doing this. Well, you're being reactive. You see, there's two ways to parent, and that's to be reactive or to be proactive. And to say, you know what, I'm going to put a plan in place whereby my kids... Here's the thing. Our goal as parents, and I hear this all the time. You know what I hear a lot? I'll hear, yeah, well, my kids are good kids. Okay, what do you mean? Well, they're not on drugs. They don't booze it up. And they hold down a full-time job if they're adults, you know. He's a good boy. He's a good boy. Doesn't take drugs and he holds down a job. Well, that's great. But do you agree with me that as Christian parents, our goals ought to go a little bit deeper than that? Our goal for our kids should not just be that we raise up good kids. Our goal as parents is not to raise good kids. It's to raise godly children. Godly children. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? I'm talking about raising up boys and girls who become adults that love God with all their heart. That want to serve God. That want to worship God, as we sung about. Pastor Larry led us, here I am to worship. And he said, Pastor Larry said, you know where they ought to learn to worship God? From us, parents. And that's so true. You see, our goal goes beyond just keeping them out of trouble through the teen years. Keeping them out of drugs. Keeping them off alcohol. And then when they grow up, getting them through college. And then them getting a good job and making a lot of money. That's not our goal for our kids, Christian parents. It's to raise up godly kids that love Jesus. They love the Lord. That doesn't happen by accident, though. It takes a proactive plan to do that. But you know what? Someone's got to take responsibility. And unfortunately, many dads that are even in the picture aren't in the picture. You know, they're always at work. If there's any discipline to be done, mom has to do it. If there's any biblical instruction, mom has to do it. If you're going to pray with the kids, mom has to do it. If we're going to explain biblical principles to them, mom has to do it. And that's wrong. The buck stops here. Dads, we got to take responsibility. Telling you, we're going to give an account to God one day for how we raise our kids. We really are. Number two, if you'll take your hand out and turn it over, how do we prepare the generation to come? Well, once we've accepted responsibility and we got that settled, number two, we need to teach our children the truth of God. Now, I want you to go back here and notice what God told the fathers of Israel to do. Look at verse 5. For He, God, established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel. That's speaking of His Word. God said, I gave you my Word. Now look at this. Which He commanded our fathers. God said, I took my Word through my servant Moses. I gave you, fathers, my Word. Why did I give you my Word? Look at it. Verse 5. That they should make them known to who? Their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to who? To their children. Do you see how that goes? He says, dads, you're supposed to be teaching your kids the Word of God so that then your kids will turn around and teach it to their kids. Look with me in Isaiah 38:19 on the screen, please. It says, the living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Now look at this. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Can you say that with me? The father, let's start there. Ready? Read it with me. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Isn't that good? You see, this passage in Psalm 78, where he talks about the fathers getting the word and then them giving it to their kids that they may teach their kids. That reminds me of a verse in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:2, if we could bring it up. Paul tells Timothy, Paul was like a spiritual father to Timothy. And he said, and the things that thou hast heard of me, the things that your spiritual dad taught you, he said, the same commit thou to faithful men. That would be Timothy's spiritual sons. Who shall be able to teach what? Others also. That would be Timothy's grandchildren. You see, Paul, that'd be his great-grandchildren. Four generations, just like we see here in Psalm 78. In both these passages, we see four generations of people receiving God's truth. And this is the key. And now hear me, parents. There, when we talked about raising up not just good kids, but godly kids, can I let you in on a little secret? There is absolutely no way to train up godly spiritual children apart from God's Word. He's not going to do it. It's the doctrine according to godliness, Paul said. Sound doctrine, that is teaching from the Bible, leads to godliness. It leads to a godly life. If our kids are spiritually ignorant of God's Word, then they don't have any spiritual understanding. They don't know how to live godly. You know, to me, a great example of this is Timothy, who I talked about a minute ago. Let me show you a verse. This is an amazing verse. Timothy, it says here, and Paul says to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now look at this. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was a third generation committed believer. A third generation committed, strong, Bible-believing young man. Now, why is that? Why were there three generations of committed Christians here? Here's the key. Look in your handout. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15. Here's the key. Here's why. He tells Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now look at this. Which are able, the Scriptures, the Bible, are able to make thee what, church? Wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. From childhood, Timothy had been taught God's Word. And Paul said the Scriptures are able to make thee wise. The Word of God is able to make your child wise. Do you want your children to make wise choices as they grow into their teen years? Grandparents, do you want your grandkids to make wise decisions? As they get to be teenagers and adults, they grow into adulthood. Isn't it scary when your kids start growing up? It's scary. It really is. I mean, my son is 18. He's going to be 19 in a couple months. And, man, it's just scary, you know. I mean, it's like you can't be with him all the time anymore. You're not with him all the time. I mean, he's going to Orlando twice a week to college over there. He's got a job. He's out working. He's out doing this and that. And I'm not with him. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I hope he's making good choices. I hope he's making wise decisions on a daily basis. You know, one of the things that's really blessed my heart, I guess more than anything else, is to see in my 18-year-old son a love for the Word of God. I wake up in the morning, sometimes at 5:30, he's already up reading his Bible in his bedroom, just devouring it. Late at night, I'll be like, aren't you going to go to bed? He's laying there reading his Bible. He's coming to me asking me Bible questions, and a lot of them I don't even have a clue. Yeah, I'm like, I don't. Well, Dad, you're a preacher. You're supposed to know these things, you know. Well, I'll get the answer for you, you know. But a lot of the stuff, it just blows me away, the stuff he asked me. But that's really blessed my heart. Right now, he's preaching junior church next door. And that blesses my heart that I can see in him a hunger and a love for the Word of God. You know why it blesses me? Oh, not so I can pat myself on the back. Oh, boy, weren't you great? I made lots of mistakes. But you know what blesses my heart about it? The fact that he loves God's Word. It's because I know that's his only hope to live a godly life. Is to be in God's Word. What good does it do for me to raise him up and give him a good education, him grow up, and go out and accomplish this or that if he doesn't love the Bible? If he doesn't love God's Word? What have I really accomplished? What have I done in 18 years of his life if I haven't taught him to love and esteem God's Word? He's got nothing with which to make him wise, to make wise decisions and wise choices. When your kids are little, you can make choices for them. When they grow up, they're going to start making their own choices. What in the world is going to cause them to make wise choices? Paul said it's the Scriptures. It's God's Word. So, parents, can I make a suggestion? Spend time right now teaching and instructing your children from God's Word. You say, that's a time investment. That is a time investment, and it's one you will not regret. I can remember when Clint was a little infant, like these kids we saw on the screen. I remember, Denise, us reading him the Bible in his crib. You say, well, he didn't understand what you were saying. Maybe we were naive, but we thought, well, it's going in that head of his. So that's good enough. It's going in his ears. It's going in his head. He's hearing it. And so as a little infant, we would read him God's Word. And we just tried to continue that all through his childhood and into the teen years. You see, if we're going to raise godly kids, if we're going to prepare the generation to come, we got to teach our children the Word of God. Then the second thing here, third thing, is by showing our children the truth of God. Showing. Now, I want you to look at verse 4. And the key word is showing. Look at it with me. Verse 4. He said, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. I like that. He says, showing to the generation to come. In your handout, it says the truth that we teach our children should be seen in our daily life. We talked about teaching them God's Word under point number 2. But then this says, okay, let's go a step further. Let's not only teach them the truth of God, let's let them see it in our daily life. It's a powerful testimony when our children see us living out what we're teaching. Boy, that's powerful. You know, it's one thing to teach them to pray. But boy, it's a powerful thing to actually have them see you praying, talking to God. I got one of the greatest blessings this morning I've ever got. This morning, Denise and the kids took off for church. And I come to the office early on Sunday and then I'll go back to the house because the house is empty. They leave and they come to 8:30 Life Group Hour. And so I'm at the house and Clayton, my middle son, stayed there at the house. And the reason why he stayed there is because he was going to be teaching God's Word for the first time today. He was teaching the 5 and 6-year-old class today. The teacher that he helps asked him if he'd bring the lesson and gave him plenty of time to prepare. And he's been preparing. And man, it blessed my heart. I'm inside going over my message. He's out on the porch preaching his message out on the front porch. And so we're kind of working together, you know. And when he got done going over his on the front porch and I got done with mine, we came together and we knelt down in the living room there beside the couch and I prayed for him. And then I said, you want to pray? And he said, yeah. And he prayed for me. And we got up off our knees and we hugged each other and we both told each other we'd be praying for the other one. You know, it's one thing to tell our kids to pray. It's another thing to have them see you praying. Can I tell you this? One of the greatest blessings you'll ever get is to pray with your kids. It's one thing to tell your kids to be honest. It's another thing, a powerful thing, when they see you displaying honesty in your daily life. It's one thing to tell your kids, be faithful, don't quit. It's another thing for them to see exemplified in your life, a don't quit, faithful attitude. You've heard the expression, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, that's so true in child rearing. You say, well, what do our kids need to see in us? Look at verse 4. What do we show them? He says, showing to the generation to come, number one, the praises of the Lord. They see us praising God. And then, by the way, can I hit on something right here that I hadn't even planned on saying? You know, one of the things that burdens me a little bit is we tend to be so divided up now, it seems like, in churches today that the kids are over here, parents are in big church, kids are doing their thing. But that's fine. I understand there's a place for all that, and that's a great thing. But, you know, sometimes if there's not a children's ministry going on in the evening services, some parents are like, well, I don't want to go and have to sit with my kids in church. Can I just tell you this? I think there's a time and a place when families need to sit together in church. And I think that, you know why? Because I think our kids need to be able to look up and see Daddy praising God. And see Mama singing praises to the Lord. That's a powerful thing. And I think it's okay you know, to do that. And I think it's necessary. He said right there, we show them the praises of the Lord. We show them how to praise God. Not only that, look at verse 4. He says, we show them His strength. Number 3, we show them His wonderful works that He hath done. In your handout, it says, our life is an open book to our children. Our life is an open book to our children. And when they look at us, parents, grandparents, what are they reading? If our life's an open book, when they look at us, what are they reading? We show them the truth of God. Number 4, last thing. How do we prepare the generation to come? Please get this, please. Number 4, by using the past as a teaching tool. Now, in verse 8, he says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The psalmist says to Israel, use the past as a teaching tool to instruct your kids. And the whole rest of this psalm, which we're not going to have time to read, but the whole rest of the psalm is dedicated to that. He's going through the history and he's going through all the mistakes that Israel made. Why did he do that? It was for the purpose of their children learning from the past mistakes of their fathers and not making the same ones. In your handout is a great statement, and I want you to get this. While we are not to dwell on the past, we are to learn from the past. While we are not to dwell on the past, and you've heard me preach that, you shouldn't be bringing up the past to your spouse, bringing up the past to people around you. We don't always go around bringing up the past, but we are to what? Learn from the past. And that's what Paul told the church. He told them in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, you know what? He was given the illustration of Old Testament Israel. And you know what he said? He said, Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. What's he saying? Learn from the past. Now, am I the only one, or have some of you in here made mistakes in your past? You know what? I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a little hard to digest, but go home and think about it. I think we ought to talk to our kids honestly. Now, naturally, it's got to be appropriate for their age, but I think we ought to talk to our kids honestly about our past mistakes and failures and utilize those as a tool to teach them and warn them. Why should they have to make the same mistakes we made? You know, kids love to hear stories about your past. They love it. They want to know you. I remember my dad, I was an adult, and I used to love to get my dad talking about his childhood and his parents, because I never knew his parents. Never knew my grandparents on that side. And I used to love to hear my dad sit at the table, and I'd get him going, you know. And I'd get him telling stories, and I would eat it up. I loved it. Because I wanted to know him. Your kids want to know you. And I remember, I've told my kids stories. Like when I was a little kid, I remember going in the grocery store with my mom. And I took a bunch of candy from the candy bin. And I put it in my pocket. I stole it. You say, well, aren't you afraid your kids will imitate? I told them, I said, listen, you know what? That brought grief in my life. I said, I thought I got away with it. I said, then as a teenager, I got saved. And I said, I felt so guilty. I felt so guilty about stealing that stuff. I said, I went back as a teenager and put some money on the counter and walked out. I did. I really did. After I got saved, I went and put money on the counter and walked back out to pay for stuff I'd stolen as a kid. You say, yeah, your kids love that, see? They love to hear stories like that. They eat it up. They want to know you. Psalm 78. What a plan for preparing the generation to come. It's Israel, and I know that, but man, what a plan. This thing will work today. You say, what's the plan? Someone's got to take responsibility. Step up to the plate. Number 2, teach our children the truth of God. Number 3, show them the truth of God in your daily life. Number four, use the past as a teaching tool. And then what's the whole purpose of the whole thing? Look at verse 7 and I'm done. Here's the whole purpose of all this. Here it is. You ready? Look at verse 7. That they, that's our children, that they might set their what? Hope in God. Write that in your handout. The purpose of preparing them is so that they might set their hope in God. Number two, and not forget the works of God. Verse 7. And not forget the works of God. And then number three, but keep His commandments. That's the purpose. Paul said, "You know what commandments I gave you, church, by the Lord Jesus." We have commandments for the church age today. There are boundaries. And this verse says the reason why we teach our kids the truth of God is so they know what those commandments and boundaries are. So that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Parents, let's prepare the generation to come. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. I'm going to ask the parents who are dedicating to come to the platform with their children right now. If you'll get your babies and come, I'd appreciate that very much. The rest of us, let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, I want you to think about this, parents, grandparents. Why don't you make some decisions right now based on what you've heard this morning? Make some decisions based on what you've heard. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come before you now through the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, Psalm 78 is so practical. Lord, what worked back then, Father, will work today. What worked back then will work today. Father, just teaching our children and showing them the truth. Teaching them, instructing them. Learning from the past. Lord, that they might set their hope in you and not forget the wonderful works of God, and that they may keep your commandments. Lord, I